Let's do this. The Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful for the faithful. Tonight I am Bruce McCurdy flying solo, filling in for my usual colleague David Staples, and going to do a quick buzz through of tonight's very disappointing 4-3 Edmonton Oilers home loss to Minnesota Wild. This sounds like an old movie. It is. Anyway, Oilers had three leads in this one, couldn't hold any of them. And in large part because their special teams were an absolute and utter fail on the night. Power play had five opportunities, including a 25-second 5-on-3, and managed to score zero goals in five chances. They got one just after the end of the first power play chance. And that was it. The power play gradually petered out and got less and less dangerous, it seemed, as the night went along. And that would have been okay, except for the penalty kill was an even worse fail at the other end, allowing three goals on three opportunities and getting smoked for seven shots on goal in 3.5 minutes of shorthanded time. Like, they couldn't win the faceoff, they couldn't get the puck out, and they certainly couldn't keep the puck out of their net. It was just a night where the special teams got away on them. They won the even strength battle 3-1. They outshot the Wild 37-28. They badly had the advantage in the shot attempts category, 72-52. And the Oilers were supposedly the fresher team, but as the game went along, the Wild got stronger, and it seemed like it was Edmonton that ran out of inspiration, and it wound up biting them on the rear end and on the scoreboard. So, in our usual fashion, we're going to talk about two good things, two bad things, two stats, and I'll just cover off for both of us. The good things, well, where to go there? I think, first of all, we're going to have to say some nice things about Edmonton's second line of Leon Draisaitl between veteran wingers Tobias Reeder and Alex Chiasson. And those guys really carried the play tonight with the three of them on the ice. The shots on net were like 9-2 for Edmonton. The score was 2-0 for Edmonton when Draisaitl was on the ice. And it was just some strong two-way hockey from those guys. I think Leon's game has really stabilized since he was given the two veteran wingers. In the first part of the season, he was asked to carry a rookie winger on a top six line against a second toughs kind of opponent. And whether that winger was Kyle Yamamoto, Jesse Puljujarvi, or what have you, Leon himself was struggling mightily, and his line had trouble getting the puck out of their own net, out of their own end. So he, I think he needed the veterans to help settle him down a bit. And to his credit and to theirs, it seems to be working out just fine for Leon. The other good thing, it was a quiet night in some respects for Connor McDavid, despite some excellent shot metrics. He had, like the Oilers did, a very strong first period, but they had a strange night. They had 22 shots in the first, 10 in the second, and 5 in the third. And that was reflected in the play of some of their top guns in this one. Anyway, McDavid provided the Knights great moment when he put Oilers ahead 2-1 in the second period with a wonderful rush at what seemed to be at the end of his shift, and that was a long change, and Chris Russell punted the puck out into the center ice zone. as only he can, the high lob into the neutral zone to relieve some pressure. And McDavid, do you think he was getting ready for a change after spending some time in his own end? And instead, he just glommed onto that puck, took one stride, and all of a sudden, Ryan Suter, who's one of the very top defensemen in the NHL, looked like he suddenly had his skates tied together, and there was McDavid cutting right around him in front of the net and roofing a perfect shot just under the crossbar. And it took a perfect shot to beat a very strong Alex Stalock in the Minnesota Wild net tonight. So that was the moment of the night for Connor McDavid. Well, so let's move on to two bad things. Pretty easy to pick those out. The power play, which went 0 for 5 on the night. The first power play, I don't have the shots right in front of me. The first power play was very strong. I know they had 7 shots on the night, and I bet you they had 4 or 5 of them on that first look. And they did eventually, even though it didn't click, they scored on the continuation about 7 or 8 seconds after Buddy got out of the box. But after that, they really didn't generate a lot or come particularly close on their chances. Particularly annoying was a 5-on-3 chance. They got 25 seconds, basically the same that Chicago got and executed perfectly against Edmonton on Sunday night. And what do the Oilers do but lose the darn faceoff, chase the puck 200 feet down the ice, and by the time they get it back up ice, even by McDavid's hand rushing into the zone again, they'd already lost about 17 of the 25 seconds, and really they never did get set up. They got one nice shot by Connor, but they never really got set up in the offensive zone 5-on-3. And then the third period, they had, you know, a power play that basically just did nothing at all. And the second unit did nothing at all on all of its looks, you know, only a couple of minutes out of the nearly 10 that Edmonton had the man advantage. But the second unit really isn't adding anything to the equation at all. The other bad thing, the super bad thing, was the penalty kill. 3 opportunities, fail, fail, fail on the report card. They got most of the way through the first one, but couldn't prevent. Just a jam play around the net. A shot got through. It hit Zach Parise's skate just before it got to Cam Talbot. He kicked it onto his stick, and it was in the net. Just easy peasy. You could say a lucky bounce, or you could say, you know, they didn't really contain either the point shot or the danger man in front, or before that, Jason Garrison failed to clear the puck out of the zone, leading to the late cycle and the goal. The second power play was a point shot and a deflection from the middle of the slot where nobody was able to tie up Eric Staal's stick, and he got a good piece of it and bounced it down into the net. That's what I mean. They're going to score power play goals sometimes. That's one maybe you just got to give them that play. There's going to be a man in the middle, and sometimes he's going to make that tip. I mean, Chiasson did the same thing for the Oilers on his nifty goal. So, and then the third one, the killer in the third period. I mean, really, this was one of those periods that looked like both teams were saying, well, it's 3-3. Let's not take any chances. Let's get this game to the finish line. We've seen it. We saw it on Sunday in Chicago. We've seen it in a couple other games this year. Standard NHL under the cockamamie point system that tie games tend to remain tied until Drake Caggiula, who drew 2 penalties for the Oilers early in the game, took a penalty for allegedly, I think they called it 2 minutes for back checking. I don't know. It was kind of a weird play where he took his man right into the net on the charge, hard charge to the net front. Anyway, into the box he went, and the power play clicked fairly forthwith. And really, it was a weird one where Michael Granlund got the puck in the corner. Nobody challenged him. He was at a really bad low angle, bottom of the faceoff circle. Talbot did that drop to his one knee thing. Granlund saw the little hole in the top corner and hit it. Perfect shot. And so what do? Hats off to the opponent for making a perfect shot. But as an old goalie, I got to say that one burns when you see your goalie get beat clean from an angle like that. And maybe it's part of the technique that that's how he does it. But then maybe there's something that's just not perfect about that technique, that you're getting beaten from there on that shot that costs you basically a regulation. You know, it's a point and a half or point and three quarters, given the Oilers' record in overtime. If you get that game into the fourth period, your chances of getting the second point are pretty good, and you got one in the bank. And instead, bang. And that was really it. The Oilers fought back in the closing stages, late stages, with the goalie out, and they did generate some good pressure in the dying seconds finally, but none of the shots could get through the defense, or certainly not through Stalock. And the Oilers they did some things right in that last minute, but really that was the only significant pressure they put up in the entire third period, including the last, was it six or so minutes, 7 minutes that they, 6 minutes that they trailed 4-3, and it really took them till the last 50 seconds that they were starting to really bring the offensive zone pressure. The Wild did what the Wild do, which is going to take me to my numbers. Here's the first number. Since 2010, Minnesota Wild have played 16 games at Edmonton. They're now 14-2 in those games, with 50 goals for and 28 against. And this old barn, or the old barn, or the new barn, is either one a welcoming place. Oilers did beat the Wild 4-1 last spring, and we were hoping that was the end of that horrendous streak. But 14 out of 16 is what it is. That team is kryptonite to the Oilers, and they were again tonight. The Oilers had the schedule advantage. They were playing back-to-back. They were flying east from Vancouver against the time zone. They were using their backup goalie. And Edmonton came out and pummeled them early. And then as the game went on, it seemed to be the Oilers that ran out of energy. So you explain that, but the Wild did what the Wild do, especially once they got ahead. You couldn't put them down when they were behind, and then couldn't find the equalizer once they got their nose in front. And it's just such a frustrating team to play and lose to over and over again. So pretty disappointing there. My other stat of the night is I'm going to talk a little bit about faceoffs. I know this came up a little bit in the post game as well. Rob Brown nailed it on Ched, but this is something I'd previously taken note of, and I've actually been noticing all year how frequently Edmonton's power play starts 200 feet from its own net. Well, tonight overall, the Oilers went 34 faceoff wins, 30 losses for a net 53%. Sounds good, right? Well, at even strength, they were 59%, but on the power play, just 5 out of 12, 42%. And that included that during the 25-second 5-on-3, a clean loss on the face-off and a dump down the ice that cost them, you know, the good 15-plus seconds out of the 25. And, I mean, you got to tie up the guy's stick. You got to get a face off. You got to just tie it up, and you got extra wingers to get in there and help out. Well, that's what Minnesota was doing, and that's what Edmonton wasn't doing. And then on the penalty kill, 0-for-3 on the face-off percentage. It kind of sounds like the penalty kill percentage on this night. Three penalties, 3 lost face-offs, 3 goals. And I'm not sure, I don't think any of them led directly to a goal, but it led directly to zone pressure. And it just stretches the 2 minutes if you can bring the pressure right from the beginning. And the contrast between Edmonton and Minnesota was significant. And the same issue took place down the stretch of the game. There was one face-off in Minnesota's end with 2:25 to play, and Draisaitl lost the draw. And down it went into Edmonton's corner, and there it stayed until 1:50 was left. They literally killed off 35 seconds off of winning that one defensive zone faceoff. And then lastly, and possibly in some ways most egregiously, 5 seconds left, faceoff in Edmonton or in Minnesota territory, goalie out, 6-on-5. You got the extra man. You should have the advantage on a drawn face off, and yet Leon actually pulled the puck back about 3 or 4 feet, and there was Ryan Nugent-Hopkins sort of starting to move into the circle, and there was Connor McDavid actually looping back and away from the circle, waiting for someone else to go in and get the puck and pass it to him, it looked like. And there is Jason Zucker on the Minnesota side diving for the puck and getting it on his stick and clearing the zone and winning the game, ending the game for his team. And it was just that hunger. And it was, that was just one play, but it was kind of symptomatic of this game. I really didn't get the sense of Edmonton really being hungry for that puck. And, I mean, they had some of that certainly going on early in the game, but they just didn't really have their crap together in this game in many ways. Their team togetherness and their systems play was lacking, and that really showed up big time on special teams. And in a game they won 5-on-5, 3-1, to come away with 0 points really stings, but such is hockey in the NHL. Every game seems like it's close, and some nights you win games that you don't think you should, and other games you lose games that you really think you should have won, and other games, well, it's in the cards. If you're playing the Wild, no matter what happens in the game, somehow they come away with points. So anyway, onwards and upwards. Next game is on Thursday night against Chicago. Another home game for the Oilers. And then they head out on another 4-game road trip. And that's a pretty tough schedule in the next little while in terms of compacted games. After last weekend's back-to-back, Saturday, Sunday, they played Tuesday tonight, Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday on the road. So I think it all adds up to, 7 games in 12 days or something along that line, with 2 back-to-backs and no extra rest days. So it's a bit of a tough stretch, but and the worry is that the way that they're relying heavily on the top players, that the minutes are taking a toll a little bit. And I mean, I could say things about a few players tonight who I thought were lacking. I'll have to read my game grades for that. But on the bigger picture, I just worry that the minutes take their toll. And when the team does have a compressed schedule for a while, that it's going to lead to energy deficit issues. And hopefully they'll show up short term, sort of one game type situations, as opposed to any extended stretch of time. Anyway, that's enough of me rambling for tonight about another loss to the Wild. And onwards and upwards. Thanks for listening. And in the meantime and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.